You may be big and fat, or uglier than sin. All the ladies shut you out, you're wondering how to get in. Well, here is my advice for how to make a splash. You can have your pick of gals if you've only got a mustache. A mustache, a mustache, if you've only got a mustache. A mustache, a mustache.
Welcome back to Kitchen Today with Brian Burke. James Sebastian Scott filling in for Brian this afternoon. And just as the imaging suggests, it is the Tuesday Tech Spotlight. And joining me this afternoon is Dan Bowman. He's the founder and CEO of Agilicus. Don, thanks so much for taking the time. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, Don, first off, let's kind of go into detail about what Agilicus does and what kind of business you're in.
Sure. So our customers are mid-market companies, which means sort of 100 to maybe 5,000 employees. They have workers that work remotely out in the field. They need secure, simple access to a set of bread and butter basic corporate applications, and we make that happen for them.
Protecting data, I assume, is kind of at the main focus of what you do. Is that kind of what companies are really looking more so to do in the digital age, is to try and find ways to better protect data and that sort of thing?
Yeah, like I think a lot of customers are finding that it's difficult to get cybersecurity insurance. They're worried about privacy implications of data loss. They're worried about security of their own staff getting spearfished. Protecting that core asset, their brand, their reputation, very, very important for them.
And Donna, so where does Agilicus come in to be able to help with that? Does Agilicus kind of build something that is able to help those companies solve some of those problems that they're looking to solve?
Yeah, so we have a software-based platform, and it helps with two parts of the problem. The first is identity, who the user is, securely being able to sign them in, no new password, single sign-on, multi-factor. The second is called authorization, what you're allowed to do. And that allows you to say, this person that I have a contract relationship with is allowed to do that to my application and have a perfect audit trail of it happening.
And when it comes to, being able to, help some of your clients be able to do that, what's kind of the biggest success story, that comes out of doing what you do? Is there something that comes to mind?
We have several customers who are Canadian cities, and just watching them be able to digitally extend compliance applications, workforce productivity, timesheets, things like that, to people that don't have traditional desks or laptops. They work from a truck, they work from a park, they work in a water treatment plant. Just making it simple and easy to use your cell phone as a contractor to access that resource in the city and know that you're helping protect against ransomware, it's a feel-good story.
I'm glad you mentioned ransomware because I don't know if everyone knows kind of the risks and the dangers when it comes to ransomware with their technology or anything like that. So what's the biggest risk factor, I suppose, when it comes to any of your devices or anything of that nature being affected with ransomware? Is there something that we can do to prevent it altogether, or what's your best advice against that?
You know, I used to tell this joke about the bear. Two hikers are out hiking. You see a bear, one ties his shoes. You can't outrun a bear. Just need to outrun you. You just need to be better than the average. The number one thing I always counsel people on is multi-factor authentication. Start using it in your personal life, on your Gmail or Apple account. Demand it from your bank. If we get that in the corporate world, it's a huge, huge level of protection for very low cost. And that would be the first thing, is making sure that you really are who you say you are, is really ground zero for protection.
Now, I know that the company I work at does have multi-factor authentication and stuff like that, but not all may have that. So when it comes to, educating businesses on multi-factor authentication, what's the biggest concern or the biggest question that you get when it comes to kind of transitioning to just a password that someone might use versus having in several different ways on how to log in?
Yeah, so people start to, I think they go down this false path. They think of the risks as only being external, and they say, oh, we'll use multi-factor, but only for administrators who work remotely. And I'm like, no, you need to get it. You need to think about it being dead simple, easy for every single person to use it every everywhere. And then the next thing they go through is, how do I use a code generator? Do I use a USB key? Do I use something that pushes to me? It doesn't really matter. As long as you have a second factor, something you have, something you know, something you are, any two of those, you've done a good job and you're better than the average, you're going to have a much lower risk.
You mentioned much lower risk. I know that, you know, multi-factor authentication might not be the silver bullet that everyone's looking for to protect all their data, because there could still be some leak points. Is that the case that you see even with businesses that do have multi-factor authentication, that there could be some points where of weakness in the defense of some ransomware or hackers or anything of that nature?
Yeah, your people are always your risk. There's always going to be somebody picking up a USB key in the parking lot and plugging it in, or opening a Word doc they received via email. Multi-factor is a huge level of protection, but you can't just say, okay, I'm done. I think training your staff is the next thing I would do. You know, active cybersecurity training, just fake phish them once in a while and make them part of the solution rather than part of the problem. That would be my second step I would do.
I know that, you know, within our internal email system here at the radio station, that, you know, if there's something that, you know, we have kind of a defense wall, I suppose, when it comes to emails coming in, that kind of has, an algorithm that puts it, either deletes it completely or puts it straight to junk. But there are some things that still leak through that, you know, we're encouraged to report to phishing or anything like that. Is there a lot of phishing that happens when it comes to, you know, the cyber world for people that don't have the protection? Or is this kind of something that is always going to be a risk factor, like ransomware, where we have to kind of just be careful in what we open and make sure it's coming from an authentic source?
You know, it can be very, very targeted. So a little bit of dumpster diving would give me some facts about your organization. It's going to get through your defenses. There's a lot of these, you know, payment redirection scams where I get a hold of your accounts payable and I say, I'm one of your suppliers, we've changed our bank account, and they're helpful people, they make it happen. You're always going to have people involved, because those automated systems, they're just not very good at detecting targeted scams. They're for the broad, untargeted things.
I found, Don, that, you know, when I see things, it almost makes it seem like they're more sophisticated attacks that we're seeing as we, as we see technology evolutionize itself, with what, you know, with technology, you know, just expanding itself in general. Is there ways that we can sort of detect whether or not it's a sophisticated attack against, an email system or anything like that? Or is it simply just looking at the email address that it comes from, if it is coming through kind of an email delivery system?
Well, it's a complicated question. You know, make sure that your main suppliers protect their email systems. There's standards called DKIM and so on, so they can sign their mails. If you're suspicious, say something. Things are going to be very sophisticated. Ransomware is a crime that has big money. Big money attacks big talent. It's not just a couple of people who don't speak English crafting an email anymore. You know, there's effort went into this, and it's going to be relying on a set of defenses, defense in depth, people and systems together. If there's something wrong, say something.
Do you work with just businesses that have, that want better defense, or do you work with individuals too to make sure that, you know, if they are, for example, have, you know, a small business that they run on their own and they have very limited amount of employees, that they might, you know, want to have better defense systems? Is it just kind of a broad spectrum of people that you work with?
I think we would struggle with like a small business, like a Subway franchise or something like that. They typically don't have systems of their own. Usually you only see that when you get into sort of a little bit larger small businesses, if you will. I think when you get into the really small business, they behave a lot more like the consumer. And I think there's consumer style solutions for that market.
We kind of get more used to, having everything digital, is there better defense systems that are going to kind of grow along the way with that to be able to defend better when it comes to any of these, you know, cyber attacks that we might come up with? Because we're still seeing, you know, quite a bit of big corporations and companies having, you know, cyberware attacks against them. And it almost seems like it's it's something that, that kind of leaks through every now and again where a big corporation is dealing with something like that with data leaks.
You know, there's a, in the cyber world, we talk about what's called red team and blue team. Red is the fake attacker and blue is the defender. The problem is the blue team needs to be right 100% of the time. The red team only needs to get right once. It's a very asymmetric type of warfare. And, you know, things are getting better and worse at the same time. Adoption of cloud technologies means you've got other people helping you with this, but it also opens your attack surface. I think you're always going to see somewhere, just like a bank can be broken into. We eventually need to start getting, you know, consequences and law enforcement better involved to reduce the supply pool of the attackers.
And is there a way to reduce that, or is it just kind of dealing with it as we go here?
I think we need to take a zero tolerance approach. Like, you know, the FBI got rid of kidnapping in the United States in the 30s after the Lindbergh baby. I think we need to do the same with ransomware. No matter what it costs, empower our law enforcement to hunt them to the end of the earth. And as soon as a few of them start going to jail, a lot less of them will get excited about doing it.
Don, I appreciate you taking the time to join us on the Tech Spotlight today and explaining kind of what Agilicus does and how it can prevent some of these attacks here. Thanks so much for taking the time today.
Thank you very much for having me. Cheers.
Cheers. That's Don Bowman, the founder and CEO of Agilicus, and mentioning what his company does on how to better protect against ransomware attacks and cyber attacks and all that sort of stuff. Because, you know, I'll be honest with you, I would trust someone like Don to be able to help me with these things, because building something, what Don does for a living and what Agilicus does every day, goes completely over my head. There's a reason why I'm not programming stuff like that. It's probably because I wouldn't be much help for you. So I wouldn't be the right guy to be able to build something like that. But there's people like Don Bowman out there who can. And the reason why I asked them about the ransom, the cyber attacks, about the big companies and corporations, because we're seeing that more than we ever have when it comes to data being leaked, and it's not just like a few thousand people that get leaked or that information gets stolen. It's like thousands and millions and billions of information getting leaked when it comes to a cyber breach. And I think that's, you know, the more sophisticated it gets, the harder it is to tell if you're under attack. And Don puts it very well on what he can help you with. Kyle, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
All right. So I have my own business.
Yeah.
And I get, so I have my own website online that I did not build. I paid somebody for. On a daily basis, I get constantly fake emails saying if I want to invest in money and all that stuff and how I can upgrade my website. And even my customers that I deal with, I remember I got an email and I got an invoice and I'm like, why is this guy sending me an invoice? And sure enough, he got hacked. And even a couple of guys that I used to be on the hockey board for, same thing. I get the message and it'd be like, I'm in trouble. Can you help me? And you respond. And you're like, yeah, of course. Cause like, that's the first thing that says, right? He doesn't say anything else. And it's like, hey, can you go buy me Apple gift cards? By this time, I'm like, okay, this is definitely fake. Like, nobody wants to get bailed out from jail with Apple gift cards, you know? But it does happen on a daily basis. Like I said, like, I run my own business, and I think I get, every morning I check my email, and, you know, a lot of it gets fished through spam. But, you know, there's always that one that says click here or respond here if you want to upgrade your thing. And it's a very noticeable name, but the minute you hit the email, it's some fake email address, right? So I don't know. I'm tired of it. It's like the old chain letters we used to get in Hotmail, all this stuff where, you know, if you do something and you'll, you know, mail this up by 10 people, you're not going to get sliced in half or whatever, right? So,
yeah.
No. Anyways, thanks, James.
Yeah, thanks, Kyle. Appreciate the call there. And, you know, I think, you know, like I said, the people who come up with these cyber attacks, they tend to look at it as, okay, if I'm, you know, a big business and I want to try and fool someone, how am I going to make my email look like it's coming from a legit source? And if you don't check the email address and where it comes from, or if it does get through whatever company defense system that you have with your business or anything like that, you know, I think they are trying to make you realize or make you look at it like, oh, okay, this looks legitimate. I'm going to click on this link. Oh, they want my banking information. Okay. Oh, I need to renew my subscription for X, Y, and Z, insert streaming service here. And you put in your banking information and it turned out to be a fake email or a ransomware attack. That's where we get into trouble. And I think we have people who in this society can fall for that fairly easily and not know what to look for. And it's not to blame anyone or to blame them for it. They just need to be educated on it and how to be safe online. With what I, you know, on a daily basis kind of click on or use every single day, it's mostly with multi-factor authentication because I don't want my stuff hacked. You know how hard it is to be able to recover something that you didn't do that's maybe charging your credit card or coming out of your bank account or whatever? It's fairly hard to get that back if you can't, you know, come up with a compelling enough case or explain it properly on what happened. And I think that's a problem that we come up with. And with the digital age, you know, we see it time and time again with just even phone scams that our senior population are the ones that get affected by this the most. And I think we have to protect everyone in the digital space. So Don Bowman can help you with that at Agilicus, because that's something that, you know, he said on a larger scale, he does deal with more larger companies on how to protect their data. But even just educating yourself on being able to protect your own data, I think that's just as important, because there could be someone on a smaller scale that can help you with that and can help better protect you in the digital space, because there are tons of things that pop up on any social media or something like that that is just easy to either get a virus or to get attacked or to get a cyber scam or anything of that nature. And I think we just have to better educate ourselves on how to prevent that from happening. This is Kitchener Today with Brian Burke on City News 570. Back after this to wrap up.